Well, so it's February. And it's been February, but see, post-Super Bowl February is known as sports depression time until September, for me at least. And for others of you, maybe not so much. But along with that, which is important, February also has this association with being the month of love. And who knows how it got that way or why that is or what the conflicting stories about how we got there are. But here's what I know. We're going to start a series called Conversation Hearts. How many of you remember the Conversation Heart little candies? You've had those before. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. So sadly, here's what happened this year. Sadly, the company that manufactured those little Conversation Hearts, maybe you've heard this. If you haven't, I'm going to break you a little Conversation Heart. The company that makes those each and every year that they bring out around Valentine's Day because they are deliciously chalky, that company went out of business. They went under. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Let us pray. But another company was like, hey, wait, that's a Valentine's Day tradition. We have to buy them out. And they did, but not in time to make Conversation Hearts this year. So I think the children are safely away. If you received any Conversation Hearts this year, they're at least a year old. Don't eat them. That's the truth. But this company promises that in future years they will manufacture those again. But who didn't love those little hearts? Some of my earliest memories, personally, I mean, some of the earliest Valentine's days I can remember, my mom would give me and my brother and never my sister because she was evil. I'm just joking. She may be listening online. Love you, Kristen. She used to give us those little Conversation Hearts, and they'd have those messages on them. It's similar to what you can see up there. You know, if you've had them before, you know what I'm talking about. And I wonder, did any of you ever open the box or ever get those little Conversation Hearts, and one of them said, "You stink"? Or did you ever go through the box and find one that says, "Hate you"? Did you see ever, in your memory of having those wonderfully delicious Conversation Hearts, do you remember coming across one that says, "If you and I were the last people on the planet and you were on fire, I wouldn't urinate to put you out. In fact, I'd probably toast a marshmallow over your body"? Did you ever come across that Conversation Heart? No. And do you know why? Because Conversation Hearts were all about things that would help make positive conversation and show love. Fascinating. And if anybody ever finds that Conversation Heart, I'd like to buy it off you. I don't believe it exists. But so we're going to do a series on Conversation Hearts, and not just the candy, but about the ways that we should love, and we can love, and we show love to one another. And this morning specifically, I want to focus on how we talk to each other, because words matter, and they matter a lot. There's an interesting study I came across, and I'm not even going to claim that I was a part of it or that I had anything to do with it. I just came across it, and I found it relevant, so I included it today. None of this is original data to me, but it was fascinating. And the U.S. News and World Report released an expansion on this study, like the results of it and their thoughts, because it was so interesting. They took psychologists from different universities, and they said, we want you to put your heads together and study relationships over a 10-year span and find what the commonalities are in the relationships that make it and what the commonalities are in the relationships that don't make it and draw some conclusions. So these psychologists, that they're probably at the top of their game, they're doing this for academic universities and they're paid to do this study, they go out and they do their research, and here's what they find, and this is fascinating. They found, of the relationships that made it for 10 years versus the relationships that did not make it over those 10 years, in the relationships that made it, about 5% of the things that were said while they observed these couples were insulting or harmful in some way. About 5%. Now, I know we're in church, but let's be real. Not 100% of the time do people talk to each other in a loving way. So 5%, hey, that's great. Those relationships made it. Here's what they found in the relationships that didn't. In the first year, 10% of what was said was insulting or hurtful in some way. 5%, 10%, not a big difference, right? Well, they continued the study, like I said, for a decade. And what they found in the relationships that made it is over the next 9 years, that number went from 5% of things that were said that may have been hurtful or insulting. Over the next 9 years, it went all the way up to 10%. Not too bad. So these relationships, sure, there are other factors, there are other things, but the good ones raised from 5% to 10% of things that were said that were hurtful or insulting. In the relationships that did not make it, that number started at 10% in the first year, rose to 50% over the next 9 years, to the point that every other item of conversation or every other comment or every other piece of discussion they had contained an insulting or a hurtful item. 50%. That's amazing. And that says to me, and that said to the U.S. News and World Report as they published this, and that said to the people that ran the study, that our words matter. And they matter a lot. Words matter when you talk to your children. Words matter when you talk with your coworkers. Words matter when you talk to the people that you go to school with. Words matter when you're talking with your friends, when you're sharing with your family, when you're talking especially to those that you love. Our words matter. In a relationship, so in a marriage, in a dating relationship, in an engagement, it's no different. You're not surprised to learn that our words make a difference. They matter, and they matter a lot. So I'd like to read a scripture for you this morning that talks about the words we use. Only I thought it would be much better, just like last week, if I didn't read it. But I had some people help me out in reading this passage. Phil and Sandy, would you come up here this morning? Phil and Sandy have graciously agreed to read this passage or these passages that are from the Bible that help us understand how much our words matter. If you'll share this mic so it'll record.
This verse is from Song of Solomon's. My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom.
Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Strengthen me with raisins. Refresh me with apples. For I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me.
Oh, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn coming in from the washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is so lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone. And on it hang 1,000 shields, all of them from the shields of warriors. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you.
my beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is purest gold. His hair is wavy. And black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with topaz. His body is like polished ivory, decorated with lapis lazuli. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as its cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem.
Phil and Sandy, I know those aren't easy passages to read through, and perhaps not the first thing we think about when we think of the Bible. Thank you for doing that for us. We'll hear from them more in a bit. But for one, did you know that everything they read there is included in one book of the Bible? Fun fact, and you can use this at all the parties, and you will be the life of that party. The book, Song of Solomon, never mentions God in it either. Well, isn't that interesting? We have a book in the Bible that doesn't mention God. In fact, there are two. But we have this language that's used of love. We have these words that come out that are so positive and so encouraging and so uplifting of the other person. Song of Solomon was written between two people that were married, a bride, a groom, and their friends. And so I figure even if it doesn't mention God, there's got to be something that we can learn from this book. There's got to be something we can mine out of here. And I think there are several things, but again, I want to focus on this book that's about the words used for the love between this man and this woman that we find. It's incredible. The lesson that we want to talk about is how do we talk to each other? What are the words that we use? You can think of any relationship you want. Now, maybe that doesn't fit all the relationships you can think of, but that's a great one to take and analyze. If you're dating someone, if you're engaged to someone, if you're married, if you've been married for a long time to someone, how do you talk to each other? Because again, the words that we use matter, and they matter a lot. I have never found a friendship. I have never found a relationship, dating or otherwise. I have never found any interaction where the people said, we've got to go separate ways because they talked way too nicely about me. They had way too many positive things to say. Their words were so kind, I couldn't stand it anymore. I have yet to find that relationship, okay? So here's a tip. If you want to be loving towards somebody, be loving not only in action, but also in words. And some of you, blah, I already know that. I came into church this morning looking for something. I already know that. You idiot. Listen to me. That wasn't loving for you to think. Secondly, are you intentional with what you say? That's a question we can all ask ourselves. I mean, for me, I like to, well, again, this is a secret. I'm going to let you in on it, but don't share this too far. I like to joke around. I have to watch myself a lot of times, and I'd probably be embarrassed if you asked Jen sometimes the things that I say when I could be loving. We have to be intentional. We have to choose our words. We have to think about what we're saying. I try very hard to be uplifting with the way I talk to my children, to my friends, certainly to my wife, but sometimes, if we're not careful, that can go awry, and worse yet, sometimes our words can really do damage because we let them do damage. As the study I mentioned up front pointed out, relationships will suffer and suffer in a huge way if the words that we're using aren't monitored carefully, if we don't talk to each other in a positive way, if we don't lift up the other people that are in our lives, any relationship will suffer because of the words we use. The things we say have the power to lift a person up or bring them low. The words we use have the power to make someone's day or ruin someone's day. The words we use over time have the power to bring a person to a place of security and encouragement or to make them feel like they're worth nothing. And the scary thing about that is we have the choice. You and I choose what we say. And therefore, we are choosing what the outcome will be. I love Proverbs 15:14. Proverbs, a separate book of the Bible, just a collection of wise sayings. But Proverbs 15:14, listen to this. It says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Think about that for a minute. I'm going to read it to you again. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. Simply with the words you say, you can help a person grow and give life to them. And at the same time, a perverse tongue or an evil tongue crushes the spirit. You can smother the life out of someone. So I'm going to ask you, if you're in a relationship, again, whether that's dating or whether that's married or whether that's long-time married, if you're in a relationship like that, how do you speak to the other person? And maybe what is the pattern of how you speak about that other person? And if you say, hey, well, that's not me, I'm not married, I'm not dating, that's not my scene, all right, how do you talk to your friends? Again, your coworkers or your classmates or whoever that is. What are the words you use? Are they giving life? Or do you use your words more often to crush their spirit? Because there's a whole lot of power in the words that you use. I want to tell you, when I think about that proverb, when I think about soothing words giving life and evil tongue crushing the spirit, I want to tell you about an experience I had. I was shopping in Meijer. It was around Christmas, and there was a couple, you know, there were a billion people shopping, but there was this couple in particular. As they came down the aisle, I could tell they were having an argument. Happens all the time, I suppose, in Meijer, but whatever. The thing is, I've heard people have arguments before, and this was different. Again, I'm trying to figure out, like, which set of candies is going to bring the most holiday joy. Anyway. And I hear them, they stopped, and they were on their way to who knows where. Like, I don't know. But they're just across the aisle from me. So it's not that I was eavesdropping. It was that their conversation was overpowering everything that was happening in that store. And to make a long story short, the guy says, "Listen, F you. This is the way it's going to be. I am so sick of your," and fill in all the words for me, okay? "But I've had enough, and you this, and you that, and by the way, you're a this, and so F you." And I'm like, ouch. But they're having an argument. Maybe it happens. Her response was kind of, "Hey, well, listen, you son of a," fill in the blank again, "F you." And he says, "No, F you, because," and I'm telling you, I'm looking at these candies here. I can't help but hear that. And I'm like backing away for safety. Oh, I got to go to the freezer aisle or something. My head's being polluted. I didn't know if I should step in and say, "What's going on?" If I should say, "No, all those things to both of you," I wasn't sure how to handle it in the moment. Here's what I know. Their language was coarse, and some people just use that. Coarse language wasn't the issue. It was that they were directing those like arrows to the other person. I don't know what they were fighting about, and to me, it doesn't matter. Because if that's the way they talk with each other, I can almost promise you they will not be together long. If whatever the issue was, I don't care if it's that somebody she loved passed and he stole all the worldly goods of that person, whatever the issue was, there's nothing big enough to talk to someone that you love that way. There's nothing big enough to use those kind of words towards another person. I can promise you, no matter what the issue, if that's how they argue, they're not going to stay together. That's an extreme example, but it is one example of how a perverse or an evil tongue can crush the spirit. That again, our words matter and they matter a lot, but the soothing tongue, the tongue that can find kind words, is a tree of life. Maybe Phil and Sandy can help us hear some of those words too.
Well, I don't know about your goat hair or your sheep teeth. I do know how much I love you, and I know that we've built our whole relationship on just being honest and open and being able to talk and truthfully have conversations and always work at coming to a happy ending. And just because of that relationship that we have now, even though we've been married less than a year, newlyweds, I just, you know, really love you, and you mean everything to me.
I had to write mine down. Phil, your love lives in my spirit. I wake each morning knowing that my day will be joyful because you are present in my life. When you look at me and say, "How's the most beautiful girl in the world this morning?" I know that you really mean it. And that's really what you see. I'm not whole when we're apart, and loving you has been the easiest thing I've ever done. I love you so much that I pray for you more than I pray for myself.
I want to thank you guys so much for helping with that. They wrote those words themselves. I didn't like feed that to them. And again, the scripture they read was honest to goodness scripture. You can find it in your Bible. But here's the point that I want to leave you with, and I hope that you've heard this. You've got to be careful. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be conscious of the words that you're using. Somebody asked me once, that's a joke. I get asked all the time, like, how do I make this relationship work? Or what's the secret to a good marriage? Or what's something that I really want to be sure and do? Or in premarital counseling, like, hey, what tip do you have for us? Well, geez, there's so much. It's a lifelong relationship. But I tell you what, you will make an immediate crevice and form a wedge in that relationship if you don't take time to talk kindly, to express your love, and to show your care for the other person through words. Is that the only thing? No. You can show love in 1,000 ways. In fact, think about this. You can show love to 1,000 people in 1,000 different ways, but your words matter, and they matter a lot. With your words, you have the opportunity to give life or to crush someone's spirit. Jesus spoke love to those he encountered. So let's follow Jesus' example and give life with our words. Would you pray with me? God, I am so thankful for what you've given me. I am so thankful for all the people that I can bring to mind that have offered me encouragement and support and hope and love through words. God, I pray that you will strengthen relationships everywhere, and that maybe the easiest step we can take is to be cautious of how we talk. May our heart reflect your heart and our words reflect your words, if you'll just help us to do that by your Spirit. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.